Thanks for hitting the rewind button with us tonight. I have Dan Fowler back with me in the co-pilot's chair. Dan, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Oh my gosh, Dal, I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite things when I was growing up, and that is the incredible crash dummies.
The incredible crash dummies. You can learn a lot from a dummy. Yeah, these guys were kind of all over the place in the late 80s through the mid 90s. It all started with a public service announcement campaign in 1985. At the time, only about 14% of people were using seatbelts. And so the National Highway Safety Administration partnered with the public broadcasting, whatever not the Corporation for Public
Rewind.
So the National Highway Safety Administration pulled some strings to get these PSAs recorded. And they first started in 1985, like we said, and by the time the last PSA dropped in 1997, the number of people using seatbelts had gone up to 79%, and much of that was attributed to these commercials.
One, two, one, two. Larry, you know, this simple exercise can help you stay healthy, which keeps medical costs down.
But you gotta do it every day, Vince. Or you'll get out of shape fast.
Do you remember the PSAs of the 80s? They were usually kind of dark and dreary, like the ones where the kid, you didn't know if the kid had died on the way home from work, or even the...
Talk about a crash test dummy commercial?
No, just other PSAs in general.
Oh, yeah, I do remember PSAs being a little creepy back then. There were some serious ones. There was one I remember, it was anti-drug. Not that this doesn't have to do with seatbelts, but just the PSA videos that we're talking about, the commercials, how dark they were. There was one back in the day that was about an anti-drug message, and it was a drug dealer who was slowly transforming into like this special effects snake.
Hey, little dude, send your mom and daddy out of the room. I gotta get you up on this. You know who I am, Snake.
Yes.
And a lot of people told about how they were creeped out by that over the years and how that was like an old nightmare of theirs. But I mean, you look at it nowadays as an adult, and especially as a filmmaker, this is a really cool, like, monstrous transformation effect that you get to see.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it makes sense that the rate would be so low for seatbelts back in the day, because you surely remember as well as I do that, yeah, it's like, my parents and probably your parents had stories about, oh, yeah, growing up, I wasn't wearing a seatbelt and we got into some wreck and I ate the dashboard.
Got thrown out of the back window or the front window or something, yeah.
Yeah, like my mom, for instance, she lost her front teeth as a child because she wasn't wearing a seatbelt in the front seat and they got into a fender bender or a wreck or something and ate the dashboard and lost them.
Yeah.
So, like I said, your parents probably have some story of a relative or them themselves being in some.
Yeah, same way with my mom, was in a car wreck and broke her leg because she was real little and, like, at the time sleeping in the back window of the car, you know, because there was no child seats. No.
Yes. Yes. I do remember doing that as a kid, because as a kid, I can remember being small enough where, yeah, if it's a long drive home, you're sleepy, you crawl up into the floorboard between the front seat and the back seat. Did you ever do anything like that growing up?
I did. A lot of times, though, when I was a kid, my parents were very much, you stay buckled up. But yeah, there were a few times in some of the long road trips where when you were taking a road trip, like in the summer, a summer vacation trip or something, where you just kind of, we'll get there.
I mean, yeah. And who can forget, you know, how many times back in the day seeing full families like sitting in the back of a pickup truck with no seatbelts or anything.
That was a fun thing for me to do too. My parents always had a truck and I loved riding in the back of the truck as a kid. And, you know, they were like, well, if you see a police officer, you get down in the bed.
Out of sight.
Also, I think this was before there were a lot of click it or ticket laws on the books. So it makes sense that, yeah, people were just like, these are my personal liberties and you're not going to infringe upon them. I'm not going to wear my seatbelt, even if it saves my life.
Yeah, because we take it for granted. There was, back in the day, there was all kind. We had no idea, like, how different the laws were for drivers back then. Because, it wasn't too long before, like, you and I were born that it was legal to drink and drive. That was, I think, a relatively recent change in the law where it's like, okay, you got to stop drinking and driving. It's not safe. That's a law now. You can't do it.
I'm not sure when that came on the...
Yeah, I can't verify. Like, don't take my word for it, folks. I can't verify when they started that law. I just know that at one point, it wasn't illegal to drink and drive. That had to happen eventually, just, you know, when highways became a thing and everybody started having a car, I guess. But at one point, it was okay to do.
Sure, sure, yeah. Especially back in those wagon train times, because who cared? You know, there weren't even roads back then. It was just a trail.
Yeah. But then everything changed with the PSA people coming up with the Incredible Crash Dummy commercials. And one thing that you were impressed by or happiest about was learning who were the voices behind these two dummies that would tell us to buckle up and not die.
That's right. Vince and Larry were the title characters of this PSA campaign. And Vince was voiced by Jack Burns, Larry by Lorenzo Music. And that's what first caught my attention. Lorenzo also voiced two of my other favorite cartoon characters in the 80s, Garfield the Cat and Peter Venkman, the real Ghostbuster.
Gosh, Darlene, it sure is amazing how much we have in common.
I know, Larry. We both love three-car pileups. We both were built in Buffalo.
And we both know wearing safety belts helps save thousands of lives.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Don't mind Vince. He's getting over a bad breakup.
I know. Janet's picking up the pieces, too. They're in here.
I wish they understood it's all worth it to get people to buckle up.
Hey, lacerated lovebirds, I sense a major crush.
Well, I'll admit, until now, I thought John Ratzenberger was the voice of Vince. It wasn't until I was doing research for this episode tonight that I was like, oh, it wasn't John Ratzenberger that played the other dummy.
And for the audience, who's that?
Guy from Cheers. I think he was, the postman?
Oh, Cliff.
Cliff, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was like, oh, hey there, Sammy. Yeah, that guy. He was the piggy bank from the Toy Story movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I actually thought, when I was listening back to these commercials before you told me that, I was wondering if it was Dan, the voice of Homer from The Simpsons.
Castellaneta?
Yeah, it sounded like him, so I was wondering if it was him, but then you had all this research already done and got me straight in who was actually the voice.
That's it. I'm history. End of the road.
You can't quit, Vince. No crash dummy takes out a utility pole like you do.
Larry, for years I've been proving how safety belts save lives, but nobody's listening.
Sure they are.
Yeah, that's why thousands die in car accidents every year. I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall.
Yeah, so I guess we were both leaning in two different directions there. But Vince and Larry became a hit, and they would star in 42 TV commercials and several radio spots before they finally met their end in the mid-90s. They got to star with some pretty interesting co-stars, too. Ray Charles, you don't want that guy driving.
No, and I've seen him drive. In the Super Dave movie and some Super Dave sketches. You remember Super Dave? He was a comedy stuntman who had his own cartoon called Super Dave back in the day on Fox Kids. And but he had several times he would do sketches where Ray Charles would be driving him blindly in a bus or a car and pulling all these kind of car stunts off.
I feel like there was a segment in like the Blues Brothers maybe it was just Super Dave that I'm thinking of where a bus pulls up and Ray Charles is...
That's Super Dave. Yeah, okay, that was a Super Dave movie. So he appeared in the Super Dave show on when it was on cable for an episode, and he also was in the Super Dave movie, okay. Yeah, driving him in a bus to an event.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I remember that scene, but it was mistaken on where it came from. Was he in Blues Brothers, or am I...
No. Ray Charles was in Blues Brothers. He didn't drive the car, but he was in Blues Brothers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With all the other car crashes and chases and...
Oh, God. Just like, yeah, that was... That was one of those movies that definitely needed the crash dummies to tell you wear a seatbelt because Blues Brothers had so many car wrecks.
Oh, yeah.
So many car wrecks.
The commercials did a really good job at reaching children, and toy manufacturers took notice. And
first off, I'm sorry. So did you have a favorite commercial of the crash dummies?
I don't know if I have a favorite commercial. I enjoyed the...
There had to have been one that stuck out to you at least. Like, oh, that was funny, or that was unexpected. There must have been one that shocked you at least. Like, surprising for me was the one where they were on double dates with crash dummy ladies.
Yeah, that one's a fun
one. Like, I didn't know, are they procreating or what's this about?
Yeah,
hey, can a dummy love?
What can a dummy do? Dummies can do a lot of things,
including one of those final episodes, which was the big shocker for me. To all you metalheads out there, one of the last crash dummy commercials had Iron Maiden.
Yeah,
I have never seen Iron Maiden in a commercial or a movie before. I barely hear their music in movies, so it was quite the shock to see that Vince and Larry were going to an Iron Maiden concert, and there's Iron Maiden giving the message, like, you know, don't be a dummy, wear your safety belt, while he's mascot was in the background, like larger than life on stage. That was just so wild to me. It's like I never expected to see that.
Good night from Iron Maiden. Drive home safe. Remember to strap yourselves in with your safety belts. You don't want to end up like Eddie. Belt up. Don't be a dummy.
For me, one of the last ones I remember seeing too was the Ray Charles one. So I guess that one is the freshest in my mind, where I think it's about buckling up babies in the back seat.
Yes.
On the big highway of life, there's only one safe place for kids.
Back seat, baby.
The front seat's not the place to drop
back
out.
Seat, baby.
Don't want that big old back to pop out.
Back seat, baby.
Put that booties in the back seat.
Back seat, baby.
Have that some kids you never meet. I'm here to remind you to put them behind you.
So that was the one that stuck out. I remember there was one about the dummy Crash Dummy Awards also.
Yeah, and that had a bunch of celebrity cameos in that one.
So that was another one that stuck out. I watched them all recently in preparation for the show. And then, of course, now that I'm sitting here, like, my brain is just like,
look out!
Even with airbags, Vince, you still got to remember to buckle your safety belt.
Now you tell me.
And I take it we're supposed to accept the Crash Dummy as robots? Because in every one of these commercials, every time they slam into a wall or get into a car wreck, they're coming apart with what looks like circuit. I mean, they start to look like the Terminator coming apart,
yeah,
because their limbs are flying off, and out of the limbs and out of the wounds are all the like wires and circuits and robotic parts, I think.
Yeah, I guess they're sort of
sentient robots.
Sentient robots, androids.
Who love because they had girlfriends in that one double date commercial.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Data from Star Trek The Next Generation, you know, he was able to love. He was fully functional, if you remember.
I'm not going there with you. I'm a very average Star Trek fan. Like, yeah, I recognize some names. I know some storylines, but I can't go into the history of Data's love life. I would not win that conversation. I'm sorry.
Well, it was the ancillary media that really kind of grabbed your attention as a child. The commercials and PSAs grabbed a lot of other kids' attention too, and that grabbed the attention of toy maker Tyco. Was the toy line what first made you a fan?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. So yes, I was aware of the commercials first, but they didn't grab me as much as the toys did. So there were phases and transitions because, yes, they started with the commercials. And then the next thing was they had some toys based on the commercial. So there was the Vince and Larry action figures along with some other characters.
It's the incredible Crash Dummies!
I feel like a wreck! Tree!
When dummies get behind the wheel, it's their job to crash!
I'd like to see you do that again.
Whatever you say, kid. Crash!
With a new crash car, they meet everything head on.
And what made these so fun was that you could buy different vehicles that were Crash Dummy branded vehicles that you could put your Crash Dummy figures in and crash the cars. So the gimmick was the cars that you would crash or the vehicles, whatever it was that you could put them in, you wrecked them and they were meant to fly apart, and then you could reassemble them or straighten them back out and then do it all over again. The dummies themselves had these spring-loaded buttons on their chests so that if anything were to impact those buttons, then the arms, legs, and heads would fly off. And even the arms and legs came in two different parts where you could snap them apart into two different segments and then snap them back together and then pop the sockets back into the main body to crash them again, make them fly apart again.
And mix and match with if they...
You could. I wasn't one of those kids that liked to mix and match because it's like, well, that's not the character anymore.
Right.
But I thought that was really cool, a lot of fun. And it was very controversial that there was one toy... there was one pack you could buy that was a Crash Dummy baby, and you could also get a Crash dog and a Crash cat.
Okay.
And apparently some parents, I guess, got upset the fact that there was a toy out there where kids could buy a baby to slam in the walls and crash into things and just try to destroy them over and over again. The intention was good because they want to teach you about buckle up
Yeah.
And stay safe. But I guess they didn't want that at the expense of a crash baby or a crash animals being ran over and slammed in the walls.
Even though it was just an anthropomorphic dummy, huh?
Yeah. And then they also had not only just those action figures, but there was also, there were these, I forgot the name of it all of a sudden, but there was these crash dolls.
Yeah, they were kind of like the wrestling buddies. Do you remember the WWF wrestling buddies?
Introducing WWF wrestling buddies. Wrestling buddies from Tonka. Funk 'em, bop 'em. Wrestling buddies are looking for action.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Nothing, Dad.
Dropkick!
Who do you think you are?
That's Hulk Hogan!
Wrestling buddies want to be your buddies.
Henry, what's going on up there?
Nothing, dear.
WWF Wrestling Buddies, new from Tonka.
I do, and these were like those, except you could take the arms and heads off and the legs off, and I think it was held on like Velcro, maybe?
Yeah.
The commercial wasn't quite clear. I didn't have one, so I couldn't say for sure, but I think in the commercial it was obvious, looking at least, that they were being held together by Velcro. But it was the same concept. Like, you could throw them around, rearrange their limbs, knock them around.
The crash dummy cracker!
We're smashing!
We're crashing!
We're soft! Hey, give me a hand!
Thanks! Incredible crash dummy crackups, each sold separately.
The other big product at the time, when they had that first line of toys to promote or to spin off of the commercials, which was all there was at the time, and I had this, was the board game. And I was telling you about that. The board game was essentially just one of those roll the dice, move the space around the board game. But you also had cardboard versions of the crash dummy characters that were segmented into a torso and a head and the limbs. And as you went around the board, I can't remember all the details of the game, but I remember as you went around the board, you could lose parts of your dummy. So it was almost like a version of Hangman. So if you lost all the parts of your dummy, you're out of the game. And if you make it to the end with, I guess, at least your head, then you could essentially win the game still.
I remember there was a video game. I don't remember the board game. I don't know if I ever played the video game, but I remember seeing it for all the major platforms in 1993.
Well, the games, best of my memory, and I still have the Super NES one, the games were all based off of the cartoon that the toys eventually led to.
Mm-hmm. Also from 1993.
Yeah, also from 1993. So Tyco, eventually, they took and ran with the dummies, but they made them cooler. So originally, the toy line, they were made to look like the commercials. They were in drab colors, you know, really toned down. But then what they decided to do was they made it cool. And this is where I really jumped in. This is where I was, like, very excited to see the toy lines because they made them brighter. They made mm-hmm. them wear what they called these tech suits that just made them, like, more super looking. And there were all these crazy designs on them. And they added all these new characters. And to promote this line, they created what was essentially the first fully CGI cartoon.
That's right. It was before Toy Story, and it was a 30-minute special that was all CGI. Some parts are kind of rough, and then some parts are really cool looking, even to this day.
I thought it all looked cool. I mean, for me, it's like, I didn't think any part of it looked rough, because, again, it was the first fully CGI cartoon. CGI was being used in cartoons at that time,
right?
But not to the extent that this one did, because if you watched cartoons like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure cartoon, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes season 2, the Beetlejuice cartoon, even Pee-wee's Playhouse, all of that was using CGI animation, but they were using it for small, short segments.
Right.
Just, you know, little bits here and there. They were never committing like a full episode to being animated in that style. And while there was a fully-fledged French CGI cartoon that was before Crash Dummies, I forgot the name of it, but it was only shorts.
Right.
Like, those episodes were only 2-3 minutes long. So Crash Dummies is technically the first full-blown
CGI,
like 22 minute cartoon episode that was completely CGI. And it was, I believe it's what led to cartoons like Reboot.
Right.
Because Reboot was a fully CGI series. But Crash Dummies, I like to think, opened the door to the possibility of, yes, this is possible. Now, why Crash Dummies didn't have more than one episode, I couldn't say. I don't know.
Probably because the cost of creating a CGI episode in 1993.
Maybe. But I was so disappointed because, yeah, it's like, I don't remember the cartoon being advertised on TV or
really
leading up to it. I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah.
I just remember it was there. I saw it.
Yeah.
I was excited by it. I loved it. I loved the characters. I loved the good guys, which are the crash dummies.
Slick
and
Spin.
Yeah. So Vince and Larry are out.
Right.
When they introduced this new version of the crash dummies, where they're wearing the tech suits and they're all brighter colors and they're made to look more like superheroes and there's more bad guys and good guys in the story all of a sudden. Yeah. Vince and Larry were kept doing the commercials. now they're introducing these characters, Slick and Spin, and they had their new buddies that were in this like crash testing facility with them in the cartoon, and now they had bad guys.
What was the goofy professor's name who had like the...
Dr. Zub.
Yeah, what I appreciate about it, the animation of him, he had like the spiral slinky eyebrows. Yeah. He like the voice actor, I don't know who the voice actor was, but he reminded me of that, the Disney Nutty Professor character, the duck of Herman.
From DuckTales.
Yeah, and he was in some of the other specials.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I can't remember the character's name.
I didn't remember that character's name either, but I think he's the guy that created Gizmo Duck's suit?
Yes.
Yeah. Screwball? Screw loose? Anyway, I don't remember. I do enjoy DuckTales, but not enough to say that I watched it anytime recently or know a lot of characters' names.
Yeah, I think I tried watching it a couple of years ago for the first time, and since I was a little kid, it was like, okay, it's not as fun as it used to be.
I rarely run into a cartoon like that. It's like I'm still enjoying a lot of things I enjoyed as a kid. Rarely do I come across anything that's like, like this. That's weird.
Well, I still liked it. It was not as compelling when I was a kid, you know, every afternoon DuckTales was on after school. I was watching it and, you know, as a 30-something, it was like, one was good.
See, I think for me, while a lot of our favorite cartoons weren't being sold on VHS back in the day for you to buy from the store or record off of copies from Blockbuster in your VCR.
No one did that. It was illegal.
Well, but I was one of those kids who was shown how you could take, you know, like your blank VHS tape and you can record your shows off the TV and you just keep being able to watch them again and again. So I enjoy doing a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably why I don't have the same hindsight as a lot of people when they go back to watch shows they grew up with, because I never stopped watching them because I was making copies all the time so I could keep watching them. And then the DVD sets came out and I would buy those. And but speaking of VHS copies, that was what was really cool about the new toy line too, is once that cartoon came out, they were selling copies of it on VHSs with two figures. One was the Ted figure with the Torso 9000 and the Junkman figure.
So Torso 9000 is another kind of pivotal supporting character in this animated special where he's kind of like this super piece of a crash test dummy that's like the ultimate in technology, and he gets in the hands of the evildoer who becomes Junkman, right?
Well, in the hands is a funny way of putting it. But yeah, so Junkman is the Torso 9000 because turns out Junkman he's a villain of the series. Dr. Zub shows that he was a crash test dummy that was just evil, and they kept his head separate.
Right.
In containment, they kept his head away from, you know, being used again. But then a clueless janitor accidentally screws his head onto the Torso 9000, which is the point of the torso. It was supposed to just simply be like the ultimate technology and crashing for recording like the statistics or whatever they needed for crash tests to know like how well something did or not. So a clueless janitor accidentally screws the evil Junkman's head onto the Torso 9000. So he regains consciousness. He's reactivated by this. And then he just collects himself all together through junk parts, which is why it's called Junkman. And then he escapes and builds himself a little mini army of junk bots and is all about taking over the world, and the crash dummies have to stop him and save the world.
And his lair, Junk Mountain.
Yeah.
When you're talking about screwing the head onto the torso, that was one of the things I really enjoyed about the cartoon was their heads were like little Christmas light bulbs that you screw in. And I kind of wish the toys were like that too.
Well, that was the big difference. So the regular crash test dummies, you push the buttons, they fly apart and all kinds of pieces. The junk bots, those characters were just parts that you just pop out. They just separated. There was no springs. There was no spring-loaded action or fall-apart gimmick or anything like that. They just came apart and you could reassemble them in different ways. And of course, the cartoon also incorporated some of the more fun vehicles they introduced. Like I never owned it. See, and that was the thing too. Like when I was growing up, I got some of the characters. Yep. I didn't have any of the vehicles. My brothers and I, what we did was one of my brothers was a big Kinex toy guy. Do you remember Kinex?
I do, yeah. They're kind of like the stick version of Legos where you can just connect things and make things. Yeah.
Yeah. So if instead of Lego bricks, Kinex were like just connecting plastic toothpicks.
Yep.
He had one of those manuals that showed you how to build like a giant Ferris wheel, Eiffel Tower, a truck, all this kind of different stuff. So what we would do is we would just build Kinects vehicles, put the crash dummies in them, and then we would just get into our living rooms and just slam these things together and fly them apart and have fun with them that way. But saying that, one of the vehicles that I still have on my wish list that I would love to get would be Bull's truck.
It's the incredible crash dummies. Lift your head down. Okay, everybody, go hands. While Bull is giving free rides in the flip-over truck.
And Bull is another crash dummy character. He's like a big Texan character.
Yep.
Not too bright. But he always had this cool ass green truck with the big bull horns in the front. And that was one of those vehicles that you could wreck all over the place. The cartoon also had like the crash cannon and a little bit of a crash chair, crash
plane,
lawnmower, the crash planes, crash motorcycle. The other cool thing too is if you bought the VHS with the figure, like I did, you found out there was like another minute of animation that was on it that wasn't seen on TV. Just stuff to kind of fill out, I guess, the commercial time when it aired on Fox.
Right.
But yeah, so did you have any of these toys yourself? Any of the vehicles?
I had
one. You ever seen the cartoon on TV even?
I don't remember seeing the cartoon. I remember the toys being in stores, and I remember the toy commercials. But I don't know what I was doing on May 1st, 1993.
Well, you were still in the Turtles.
Yeah, I was still in the Turtles, but I watched all kinds of Fox Kids shows, and they used to do it up. I feel like they didn't do a good job promoting this because Fox, when they premiered shows like Goof Troop, they made a big to-do out of it. When they premiered Batman the Animated Series, they made a big to-do out of it and made you want to watch it and made a big spectacle out of it. I don't feel like the Crash Dummies got this treatment.
Probably because it was just that one episode. I'm sure if it was going to be a series, they might have played it up more, which it should have been. I would love to have seen this as a series. Yeah. I still wish I could have seen this as a series.
I did have, I believe it was Slick, the orange and yellow Crash Dummy. He, you know, I did have him as a toy. And I played around with them a lot. And like you said, you press the buttons or the buttons get pressed while they're in your toy box and it just kind of splits apart. And I think once his head went missing, that was the end of my crash test dummy toy adventure. But you have several. Tell us about your crash test dummy toy collection.
Well, I had several back in the day and eventually, for whatever reason, you know, we all at different points in life decide we're grown up and need to get rid of some stuff and sell some things off, make some money for, you know, because you need on a date or to pay an apartment rent or something. But recently I had gone back and picked some of these back up. I had picked up Slick and Spin. I also have all the Junk Bots in my collection because I thought they were really cool. I still have never, well, I take that back. I own one half of a vehicle right now. I never made it a point to go out and get the vehicles, except unless it's Bull's truck, because they're so large and they fall apart in so many pieces. It's like, well, where am I going to display this? I already got enough going on right now.
Right.
But I am in possession right now of half a crash car that just came into my possession right as of late. I also have the Crash Dummy SNES game, which is a lot of fun because playing through that was one of those games where if you get hit, you lose a limb. So it's really funny because you remember Monty Python with Black Knight when they cut off his limbs and he's like just hopping around as a torso. That's the Crash Dummies video game. You play that game. I think you have like five chances before it's game over. Basically, you lose one limb, you lose another limb, you lose a leg, another leg. And then you're just nothing but a torso hopping around waiting to be somebody's third base in their baseball game. And I also have the comic books. So there was a short-lived Harvey comic book of the Incredible Crash Dummies and it was only 3 issues. That came out at the same time that the cartoon and the toy line came out. And it continued the adventures from the cartoon. Like I said, I wish I could see. But there were some minor changes. One being, it didn't feature like all those new characters that they introduced in the cartoon that were part of the toy line. Like you had Slick and Spin.
Right. And the professor.
And the professor. And you had Junkman and his Junk Bots. But you didn't have Bold. You didn't have Spare Tire, Daryl, Dent, Dash, any of those characters. And they also introduced, see, in the cartoon, there's no human characters. So you kind of accept that, okay, they must live in some crash dummy world or something, or crash dummy land maybe, but there's no human characters. You read the comic book, you find out they live in Crash Town, USA, which sounds like the worst place you'd want to live because it's just a town full of crash dummies crashing stuff all the time. And they even cohabitate with humans in this town. And there's even like a panel or two of some poor schmo in the street being hit by a crash dummy and dummy said like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were one of us. It's like, who would want to live there? Terrible. But the comic was still fun. It's just, it had them like rescuing the president, going to space, fighting mummies, just, you know, crazy adventures, which are always my favorite. And that was really, I believe, the last breath of that line. As fun as it, and as exciting as it was to collect and to see, it was pretty much just that second phase of the toy line. They got the tech suits and the junk bots, the one cartoon episode, the three issues of the comic. You had the video games that were on Sega and SNES and whatnot. And then that was pretty much it. And then you just rode out on Vince and Larry back in their commercials, I believe.
Yep. Mattel did try to capitalize once again on the Crash Test Dummies in the early 2000s, bringing them back under the Hot Wheels line. And they even produced a new series of animated shorts in 2004 featuring a new batch of dummies, Crash, Splice, Crunch, and Gyro. But I only discovered these recently and shared the link with you. This just didn't connect with me like the first run of toys and the animated special did. How about you?
It didn't connect with me. I was aware of these when they came out and I saw them on toy shelves and I was a little excited, but still it just wasn't, the aesthetic wasn't there for me. It wasn't as exciting. It wasn't as colorful. It wasn't as fun as that line that was in the cartoon that I saw back in the day.
Yeah.
And even the cartoons, like I didn't know about those cartoons. Now, when you say cartoon series, they're actually just a series of shorts.
Yeah, like little two-minute snippets.
Yeah, it was the little two-minute flash animations of just them crashing or introducing a character. Yeah. Nothing too exciting. There were no, like, bad guys in that line or anything. There was really no story arc. It was just very simple little skits that, I know, it feels really weird to say whenever you claim this about a toy line that was always meant for kids, but I felt like it was dumbed down for a younger audience even, and that really turned me off to it.
Right.
But I also just did not like the design of the new Crash Dummies in that Hot Wheels line. Like, I didn't like how they were trying to make them look a little more human in the faces.
Yeah, they were definitely more, I don't know if symmetrical is the right word, but sculpted, like, not, they weren't as, like, round and angular and globular as the originals were, where you could tell they were dummies.
Yeah, they looked a little more people like I think you were just saying. I mean, I didn't like that. It's like, I don't want to see them being able to smile and have all these expressions. Like, I love the original design that was in that first series. To me, that was just a lot of fun, and I just didn't get that with that. So I didn't buy any of that second series. I really had nothing to do with it. I saw it in the toy shelf, judged it right away, and just said, nope, not my Crash Dummies.
Yep. Vince and Larry are still reaching new audiences and teaching people about highway safety. They are now on exhibit in the Smithsonian Museum in Washington. So if you ever get a chance to go there, be on the lookout for Vince and Larry. That's a place I'd love to go and look around at all the pop culture nostalgia that's on display in the Smithsonian. How about you?
I don't remember seeing Vince and Larry at the Smithsonian, but I have been to the Smithsonian and I've looked around there. Unfortunately, I just barely remember anything I saw.
Right.
So, which is always weird to say. It's like, because my parents made it an important enough point to take me to certain areas growing up, and just so I can get the experience and the exposure and be like, you know, here's something very significant to the history of the world for you to appreciate. And I guess I just didn't appreciate it because I barely remember any of this stuff.
So when you went, what time frame was that now?
Man, that would have been like around 2001 to 2003.
I think it was later than that when Vince and Larry went in. I read a news article about it. I can't remember, but I believe it was kind of mid-2000s or maybe around 2010 when they actually went in. So it might have been after your visit to the Smithsonian. What are some your favorite thing about Crash Test Dummies to this day?
I just love the fun of it. I mean, it's just something I feel like still has a lot of mileage to it that just hasn't been fully exploited as much as they could have back in the day, because that's what I really want to see more of is those characters.
Yeah.
And the adventures that they could have. I think it's, well, the one thing that really impresses me is the toy line still holds up. And what I mean by that is any toy line has a gimmick. Like, for instance, DC Superpowers. I've been recently talking with a guy who collects those, and I've picked up one or two of these figures myself.
Yeah.
Every one of those DC Superpower figures had a gimmick where it was a spring-loaded action where you squeeze their arm or their legs. They would do like a punch or a kick or, you know, what have you.
Batman's arms would fly up in one of them later on, yeah.
Yeah, and why I bring that up is because revisiting this toy line, a lot of these parts are wearing out and don't hold up. But the crash test dummies, for instance, I mean, these things are 30 years old now?
Yeah, a little over 30. They were discontinued in 1994, so 31 years ago, the last one went on shelves.
Yeah, so these figures are 30 years old, and we have two of them with us right now that we've been kind of just playing around with in preparation for this, just to have a tactile prop that we can have, you know, help us out with the memories and the experience of crash test dummies. But these figures, you know, like I said, these are spring-loaded, you know, limbs fly off figures, and they're still holding up. Like, you pop them in, nothing's flying apart. Everything's still holding together really well after all this time. So, you know, kudos to the toy designers that managed to, like, come up with a design and mechanics that could, like, have that kind of mileage in them.
They were toys that were made for kids to be rough with and break.
And that
multiple
makes
times.
Sense. Now, you're right. It's like just the fact they were made to be smashed around, you would try to make it more durable than your Superman figure with its spring-loaded, you know, punch action.
Right. But what a cool idea. I will always remember Vince and Larry and Lorenzo Music, and I guess not John Ratzenberger.
I think you at least bought a Crash Dummy Halloween mask before, haven't you?
Yes, I believe in my old mask collection that I had, I did have one of them that I picked up from the costume store.
Yeah,
years
one
ago
of those plastic only in the front side of your head with a rubber band in the back kind of
guy.
Because I have a couple of those, and I have one as a decoration in my animation studio at all times.
I believe it was one I picked up for a quarter when I went through and picked up a whole lot of those that they had. That was man, what a great store. It's a shame that the Ruby's costume shops near us have closed up.
But yeah, I mean, but Crash Dummies, love the series, love the characters, wish they'd done more with it.
Dan, you can learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt. As we buckle up to head out of this episode, is there one PSA you would recommend we watch to close this chapter on Crash Test Dummies?
Oh, absolutely. If there was ever one that really showed a sign of the times when these guys were on top of the world, it would have to be the Crash Dummy Rap, which I saw many times on TV.
The Crash Dummy Rap. We'll listen to that now as we head off into the sunset. Thanks for hitting the rewind button. Dan, thanks for joining me. And let's listen in to the Crash Test Dummy Rap.
What's wrong, Vince?
My woman's done left me. My dog ran away. And people still aren't wearing their safety belts.
Vince, you singing those buckle up blues again?
Some people don't wear their seat belts. I can't believe it's true. Those kind of people get knocked right out of their shoes. So buckle up, baby. Don't sing me those buckle up blues.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your safety belt.
I mean it, baby. Buckle, honeysuckle, buckle, yeah.